Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. Reading today from the life and diary of David Brainerd. David Brainerd. We're in part five of his work. Let's just jump right into Saturday, July 30. Just at night, moved into my own house and lodged there that night. Found it much better spending the time alone than in the wigwam where I was before. Lord's Day, July 31. Felt more comfortably than some days past. Blessed be the Lord, who has now given me a place of retirement. Place to stay, in other words. Oh, that I might find God in it, and that he would dwell with me forever. Monday, August 1. Was still busy in further labors on my house. Felt a little of the sweetness of religion, and thought it was worth the while to follow after God through 1,000 snares and deserts and death itself. Oh, that I might always follow after holiness, that I may be fully conformed to God. Had some degree of sweetness in secret prayer, though I had much sorrow. Tuesday, August 2. Was still laboring to make myself more comfortable with regard to my house and lodging. Labored under spiritual anxiety. It seemed to me I deserved to be kicked out of the world. Yet I found some comfort in committing my cause to God. It is good for me to be afflicted, that I may die wholly to this world and all that is in it. Wednesday, August 3. Spent most of the day in writing. Enjoyed some sense of religion. Through divine goodness I am now uninterruptedly alone, and I find my retirement comfortable. I have enjoyed more sense of divine things within a few days last past than for some time before. I longed after holiness, humility, and meekness. Oh, that God would enable me to pass the time of my sojourning here in his fear, and always live to him. Thursday, August 4. Was enabled to pray much, through the whole day, and through divine goodness found some intenseness of soul in the duty, as I used to do, and some ability to persevere in my supplications. I had some apprehensions of divine things that were engaging and which afforded me some courage and resolution. It is good, I find, to persevere in attempts to pray, if I cannot pray with perseverance, that is, continue long in my addresses to the divine being. I have generally found that the more I do in secret prayer, the more I have delighted to do, and have enjoyed more of a spirit of prayer. Frequently have found the contrary, when with journeyings or otherwise I've been much deprived of retirement. A seasonable, steady performance of secret duties in their proper hours, and a careful improvement of all time, filling up every hour with some profitable labor, either of heart, head, or hands, are excellent means of spiritual peace and boldness before God. Christ indeed is our peace. And by him we have boldness of access to God. But a good conscience, void of offense, is an excellent preparation for an approach into the divine presence. There is difference between self-confidence, or a self-righteous pleasing of ourselves, as with our own duties, attainments, spiritual enjoyments, which godly souls sometimes are guilty of. And that holy confidence arising from the testimony of a good conscience, which good Hezekiah had when he says, "Remember, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart." Then, says the psalmist, "Shall I not be ashamed when I have respect to all thy commandments?" Filling up our time with and for God is the way to rise up and lie down in peace. Well, the next 8 days he continued for the most part in a very comfortable frame, having his mind fixed and sweetly engaged in religion, and more than once blesses God that he had given him a little cottage where he might live alone and enjoy a happy retirement free from noise and disturbance, and could at any hour of the day lay aside all studies and spend time in lifting up his soul to God for spiritual blessings. Saturday, August 13. Was enabled in secret prayer to raise my soul to God with desire and delight. It was indeed a blessed season to my soul. I found the comfort of being a Christian, encounter the sufferings of the present life not worthy to be compared with the glory of divine enjoyments, even in this world. All my past sorrows seem kindly to disappear, and I remember no more the sorrow for joy. Oh, how kindly and with a filial tenderness the soul confides in the Rock of Ages at such a season, that he will never leave it nor forsake it, that he will cause all things to work together for its good, and so on. I long that others should know how good a God our Lord is. My soul was full of tenderness and love, even to the most inveterate of my enemies. I longed they should share in the same mercy. I loved that God should do just as he pleased with me and everything else. I felt exceeding serious, calm, and peaceful, and encouraged to press after holiness as long as I live, whatever difficulties and trials may be in my way. May the Lord always help me to do so. Amen and amen. Lord's Day, August 14. I had much more freedom in public than in private. God enabled me to speak with some feeling sense of divine things, but perceived no considerable effect. Monday, August 15, spent most of the day in labor to procure something to keep my horse on in the winter. Enjoyed not much sweetness in the morning. Was very weak in body through the day, and thought this frail body would soon drop into the dust. Had some very realizing apprehensions of a speedy entrance into another world, and in this weak state of body, I was not a little distressed for want of suitable food. I had no bread, nor could I get any. I'm forced to go or send 10 or 15 miles for all the bread I eat. Sometimes it's moldy and sour before I eat it, if I get any considerable quantity. And then again, I have none for some days together, for want of an opportunity to send for it, and cannot find my horse in the woods to go myself. And this was my case now. But through divine goodness, I had some Indian meal, of which I made little cakes and fried them. Yet I felt contented with my circumstances and sweetly resigned to God. In prayer, I enjoyed great freedom and blessed God as much for my present circumstances as if I had been a king, and thought I found a disposition to be contented in any circumstances. Blessed be God. Well, the rest of this week he was exceeding weak in body, much exercised with pain, yet obliged from day to day to labor hard, to procure fodder for his horse, except some part of the time he was so very ill that he was neither able to work nor study, but speaks of longings after holiness and perfect conformity to God. He complains of enjoying but little of God, yet he says that little was better to him than all the world besides. In his diary for Saturday, he says he was somewhat melancholy and sorrowful in mind, and he adds, "I never feel comfortably but when I find my soul going forth after God. If I cannot be holy, I must necessarily be miserable forever." Lord's Day, August 21, was much straitened in the forenoon exercise. My thoughts seemed to be all scattered to the ends of the earth. At noon, I fell down before the Lord, groaned under my vileness, barrenness, and deadness, and felt as if I was guilty of soul murder in speaking to immortal souls in such a manner as I had then done. In the afternoon, God was pleased to give me some assistance, and I was enabled to set before my hearers the nature and necessity of true repentance. Afterwards, I had some small degree of thankfulness, was very ill, and full of pain in the evening, and my soul mourned that I had spent so much time and to so little profit. Monday, August 22, spent most of the day in study, and found my bodily strength in a measure restored. I had some intense and passionate breathings of soul after holiness, very clear manifestations of my utter inability to procure or work it in myself. It is wholly owing to the power of God. Oh, with what tenderness the love and desire of holiness fills the soul. I wanted to wing out of myself to God, or rather to get a conformity to him. But alas, I cannot add to my stature in grace one cubit. However, my soul can never leave striving for it, or at least groaning that it cannot strive for it, and obtain more purity of heart. At night I spent some time in instructing my poor people. Oh, that God would pity their souls. Tuesday, August 23. Studied in the forenoon and enjoyed some freedom. In the afternoon, labored abroad, endeavored to pray, but found not much sweetness or intenseness of mind. Towards night was very weary, and tired of this world of sorrow. The thoughts of death and immortality appeared very desirable, and even refreshed my soul. Those lines turned in my mind with pleasure. It says, "Come, death, shake hands, I'll kiss thy bands. 'Tis happiness for me to die. What? Dost thou think that I will shrink? I'll go to immortality." In evening prayer, God was pleased to draw near my soul, though very sinful and unworthy. I was enabled to wrestle with God and to persevere in my requests for grace. I poured out my soul for all the world, friends and enemies. My soul was concerned not so much for souls as such, but rather for Christ's kingdom, that it might appear in the world, that God might be known to be God in the whole earth. And oh, my soul abhorred the very thought of a party in religion. Let the truth of God appear wherever it is, and God have the glory forever. Amen. This was indeed a comfortable season. I thought I had some small taste of and real relish for the enjoyments and employments of the upper world. Oh, that my soul was more attempered to it. Wednesday, August 24. Spent some time in the morning in study and prayer. Afterwards was engaged in some necessary business abroad. Towards night, found a little time for some particular studies. I thought if God should say, "Cease making any provision for this life, for you shall in a few days go out of time into eternity," and my soul would leap for joy. Oh, that I may both desire to be dissolved to be with Christ, and likewise wait patiently all the days of my appointed time until my change come. But alas, I am very unfit for the business and blessedness of heaven. Oh, for more holiness! Thursday, August 25. Part of the day was engaged in studies, part in labor abroad. I find it is impossible to enjoy peace and tranquility of mind without a careful improvement or proper use of time. This is really an imitation of God in Christ Jesus. "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work," says our Lord. But still, if we would be like God, we must see that we fill up our time for him. I daily long to dwell in perfect light and love. In the meantime, my soul mourns that I make so little progress in grace and preparation for the world of blessedness. I see and know that I am a very barren tree in God's vineyard, and that he might justly say, "Cut it down." Oh, that God would make me more lively and vigorous in grace for his own glory. Amen. Well, the two next days, he was much engaged in some necessary labors, in which he extremely spent himself. He seems these days to have had a great sense of the vanity of the world, the continued longings after holiness, and more fervency of spirit in the service of God. Lord's Day, August 28, was much perplexed with some irreligious Dutchmen. All their discourse turned upon the things of the world, which was no small exercise to my mind. Oh, what a hell it would be to spend an eternity with such men! Well might David say, "I beheld the transgressors and was grieved." But, adored be God, heaven is a place into which no unclean thing enters. Oh, I long for the holiness of that world. Lord, prepare me for it. The next day, he set out on a journey to New York. Was somewhat dejected the two first days of his journey, but yet seems to have enjoyed some degrees of the sensible presence of God. Wednesday, August 31, I rode down to Bethlehem, was in a sweet, serious, and I hope Christian frame when I came there. Eternal things engrossed all my thoughts, and I longed to be in the world of spirits. Oh, how happy is it to have all our thoughts swallowed up in that world, to feel oneself a serious, considerate stranger in this world, diligently seeking a road through it, the best, the sure road to the heavenly Jerusalem. Thursday, September 1, rode to Danbury. I was more dull and dejected in spirit than yesterday. Indeed, I always feel comfortably when God realizes death and the things of this world to my mind. Whenever my mind is taken off from the things of this world and set on God, my soul is then at rest. He went forward on his journey and came to New York on the next Monday. After tarrying there 2 or 3 days, he set out from the city toward New Haven, intending to be there at the commencement, and on Friday came to Horse Neck. In the meantime, he complains much of dullness and want of fervor in religion, but yet from time to time speaks of his enjoying spiritual warmth and sweetness in conversation with Christian friends, assistance in public services, and so on. Saturday, September 10, rode 6 miles to Stanwich and preached to a considerable assembly of people. Had some assistance and freedom, especially toward the close. Endeavored much afterwards in private conversation to establish holiness, humility, meekness, and so on as the essence of true religion, and to moderate some noisy sort of persons that appeared to me to be acted by unseen spiritual pride. Alas, what extremes men incline to run into. Returned to Horse Neck, felt some seriousness and sweet solemnity in the evening. Lord's Day, September 11. In the afternoon I preached from Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying, and so on. I think God never helped me more in painting true religion and in detecting clearly and tenderly discountenancing false appearances of religion. Wildfire party zeal, spiritual pride, and so on, as well as that confident dogmatical spirit and its spring, namely the ignorance of the heart. In the evening took much pains in private conversation to suppress some confusions that I perceived were amongst the people. Monday, September 12, rode to Mr. Mills's at Ripton, had some perplexing hours, but was some part of the day very comfortable. It is through great trials, I see, that we must enter the gates of paradise. If my soul could but be holy, that God might not be dishonored, methinks I could bear sorrows. Tuesday, September 13, rode to New Haven. Was sometimes dejected, not in the sweetest frame. Lodged at so-and-so, had some profitable Christian conversation. I find, though my inward trials were great, and a life of solitude gives them greater advantage to settle and penetrate to the very inmost recesses of the soul, yet it is better to be alone than encumbered with noise and tumult. I find it very difficult maintaining any sense of divine things while removing from place to place, diverted with new objects, filled with care and business. A settled, steady business is best adapted to a life of strict religion. Wednesday, September 14, this day I ought to have taken my degree, but God sees fit to deny it to me. Though I was greatly afraid of being overwhelmed with perplexity and confusion, and when I should see my classmates take theirs, yet at the very time God enabled me with calmness and resignation to say, "The will of the Lord be done." Indeed, through divine goodness, I have scarcely felt my mind so calm, sedate, and comfortable for some time. I've long feared this season and expected my humility, meekness, and patience and resignation would be much tried, but I found much more pleasure and divine comfort than I expected. Felt spiritually serious, tender, and affectionate in private prayer with a dear Christian friend today. Thursday, September 15, had some satisfaction in hearing the minister's discourse and so on. It's always a comfort to me to hear religious and spiritual discourse. Oh, that ministers and people were more spiritual and devoted to God. Towards night, with the advice of Christian friends, I offered the following reflections in writing to the rector and trustees of the college, which are for substance the same that I had freely offered to the rector before, and entreated him to accept, that if possible I might cut off all occasion of offense and from those who seek occasion. Here's what I offered. And he's quoting his own work now to these leaders at the college. Whereas I have said before several persons concerning Mr. Whittlesey, one of the tutors of Yale College, that I did not believe he had any more grace than the chair I then leaned upon, I humbly confess that hereon I have sinned against God and acted contrary to the rules of his word and have injured Mr. Whittlesey. I had no right to make thus free with his character. I had no just reason to say as I did concerning him. My fault herein was the more aggravated in that I said this concerning one that was so much my superior, one that I was obliged to treat with special respect and honor, by reason of the relation I stood in to him in the college. Such a manner of behavior, I confess, did not become a Christian. It was taking too much upon me, and did not savor of that humble respect that I ought to have expressed toward Mr. Whittlesey. I have long since been convinced of the falseness of those apprehensions by which I then justified such a conduct. My apologies for the airplanes that continue to fly from O'Hare over my condominium. Hope you can deal with that as I can. I have often reflected on this act with grief. I hope on account of the sin of it, and am willing to lie low and be abased before God and man for it. I humbly ask the forgiveness of the governors of the college and of the whole society, but of Mr. Whittlesey in particular. And whereas I have been accused by one person of saying concerning the Reverend Rector of Yale College that I wondered he did not expect to drop down dead for fining the scholars that followed Mr. Tennant to Milford, I seriously profess that I do not remember my saying anything to this purpose. But if I did, which I am not certain I did not, I utterly condemn it and detest all such kind of behavior, any especially in an undergraduate towards the rector. And I now appear to judge and condemn myself for going once to the separate meeting in New Haven a little before I was expelled, though the rector had refused to give me leave. For this I humbly ask the rector's forgiveness. And whether the governors of the college shall ever see cause to remove the academic censure I lie under or not, or even to admit me to the privileges I desire, yet I am willing to appear, if they think fit, openly to own and to humble myself for those things I have herein confessed. God has made me willing to do anything that I can do, consistent with truth, for the sake of peace, and that I might not be a stumbling block to others. For this reason I can cheerfully forego and give up what I verily believe, after the most mature and impartial search, is my right, in some instances. God has given me that disposition that if this were the case, that a man has done me 100 injuries, and I, though ever so much provoked to it, have done him one, then I feel disposed and heartily willing humbly to confess my fault to him, and on my knees to ask forgiveness of him, though at the time he should justify himself in all the injuries he has done me, and should only make use of my humble confession to blacken my character the more, and represent me as the only person guilty, yea, though he should, as it were, insult me and say he knew all this before, and that I was making work for repentance. Though what I said concerning Mr. Whittlesey was only spoken in private to a friend or two, and being partly overheard was related to the rector, and by him extorted from my friends, yet seeing it was divulged, made public, I was willing to confess my fault therein publicly, but I trust God will plead my cause. The next day, he went to Derby, then to Southbury, where he spent the Sabbath, speaks of some spiritual comfort, but complains much of unfixedness and wanderings of mind in religion. We'll leave him right there. Monday, September 19 will be next. Not far from where we are in the year right now. It's good to have you with me each day that you're here. And while you're here, I always want to invite you to look around the website. My goodness, I do it every once in a while. I've forgotten some of the things that I've put on there, and they're good things. I hope you'll go back and look for yourself at what I have placed on this site. Hundreds and hundreds of audios. Not bragging, not complaining, just very happy for the Lord giving me all these days to say things to God's people. I pray that you'll be blessed by it. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.